This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by Neil Gilchrist. Neil's Chief Pharmacy Officer at UMass Memorial Health System in Massachusetts. And UMass has been way out in front in doing certain things for COVID-19 that sort of had made national news in terms of being a leader in some of the diagnostics, some of the testing, some of the other things that have been going on with COVID-19. And so just a great pleasure to visit with Neil today. Neil, can you take a moment, introduce yourself, and tell us a little bit about the role of Chief Pharmacy Officer and a little bit about UMass?
Sure, and thanks for having me today, Scott. So as you said, my name is Neil Gilchrist. I'm the Chief Pharmacy Officer for UMass Memorial Medical Center, which is the academic medical center of UMass Memorial Health. We are the largest healthcare provider in central Massachusetts. We have approximately over 14,000 caregivers and serve really as a safety net hospital for the region. I've been at UMass now for about 17 years and observed significant change in our organization and department. And like many others, really challenging past couple of years. The Department of Pharmacy itself has expanded as well. During my time at UMass, we've really evolved, like many organizations, from a hospital-based inpatient pharmacy service to now working in the spaces of retail, specialty, and infusion pharmacy services over the past 10 to 15 years. My role at UMass as well, I've gone through different positions, and now as the Chief Pharmacy Officer for the past couple of years, has really become a strategic partner for the hospital and health system leadership team. As I mentioned, you look back at pharmacy practice and advancement, we've gone from really inpatient-focused cost center management with a large goal to manage the expenses of drug spend. Since inpatient stays are paid to the hospital and bundled or DRG payment fee structure. Today, the Chief Pharmacy Officer spends equally, if not more time focused on strategy and business development on the revenue generating cost centers at the organization. And these include specialty pharmacy, retail, infusion services. And that might be in the ambulatory space or even home infusion and alternate site of care. And then last, there's a large component as well of focus on 340B savings as well, which for us is a critical program like any other safety net hospital providing significant uncompensated care for our community.
And talk about, it's Chief Pharmacy Officer today. I want to talk to you in a moment about COVID and lessons learned from COVID. What are your top three priorities today? And just summarize the top three priorities as Chief Pharmacy Officer.
Yeah, I'd say these evolved a little bit in the past year and a half as well. While always they've been kind of in the top 10 priorities, I'd say at this moment, the top three priorities would be, and I'll go a little bit more into detail, about monitoring the external environment, workforce development, and then the continued shift of value and outcomes-based services. And I'll start with the first one, which is around monitoring external environment. So we need to, as a Chief Pharmacy Officer, you need to continue to monitor, mitigate, and implement key programs in response to what's happening external to the organization. Many of your pharmacy team members are focused on what's happening within the walls of the organization. And, you know, as a Chief Pharmacy Officer, you want to be looking outside and seeing ahead of the changes that are coming down the line. This can include regulatory changes, enforcement actions we've seen, payer changes, payer landscape, and even as much as, you know, a epidemic or pandemic, we need to continue to think about those things. Last week, our organization launched a new patient care service called Hospital at Home. And, you know, I think this kind of got pushed forward with the current COVID pandemic and some of the lessons that we've learned along the way and also regulatory allowances. And so we're able to provide low acuity inpatient level of care to patients in their home. These patients are connected to a virtual command center by peripheral monitoring device, and the command center utilizes video interactions with the patient throughout their inpatient stay. Some of the elements that go into the program is a nurse visit at least twice a day and a provider visit as well. But I think really a perfect example of where pharmacy services, we needed to think, look into what services are coming down the road, strategically position ourselves to be involved in those discussions and make sure that, you know, we're involved to provide medication therapy in these new and innovative services. And so that's really the first priority that I have, probably one of the top ones that as a chief pharmacy officer, you need to think about that big picture and externally. The second has really evolved quite a bit is workforce development. Organizations across the country, the market is really challenging right now for recruitment as well as retention. And so it used to be a lot of focus on advancement and leadership development with our teams, which still continues today. But for workforce development, there's a lot of focus that leaders are putting into recruitment and retention strategies right now. And then the last priority I'd mentioned is around value and outcomes-based services. And so we really need to continue to align pharmacy services to the organization and larger picture of moving from maybe a more fee-for-service or transactional services to focus on value and outcomes that we can provide. And so specialty pharmacy is a perfect example. Many health systems have built their on-campus or within their organization, a specialty pharmacy, and that creates a perfect example of integrated care model by having a specialty pharmacists and liaisons within clinics to ensure that we have that continuity of care and higher level of care by being able to make sure those patients leave that specialty clinic and get access to the medications that they need. One last comment on that, as I think pharmacy leadership needs to continue to connect that revenue source with the value and outcomes-based services. It's often a challenge to think about how do we add more additional team members that create an expense. We know the quality and outcomes are there, but sometimes as leaders, we need to also tie that to some of the revenue that we're able to see, to realize.
100%. Could you take a moment on what are a few lessons you've learned through COVID-19 as a chief pharmacy officer?
There's a lot of lessons that have really come out of the past 15 months or so. But I think one of the items that stands out to me, the lesson, is probably thinking about the healthcare workforce and just how relentless it is in its ability to focus on the task at hand and collaborate with colleagues across disciplines and organizations to meet the needs of our community and our patients. You hear stories across the country of heroic measures by caregivers faced, you know, with really overwhelming situations. And even as we're talking today, you know, just stories coming out of states like Florida going through an additional wave with the Delta variant right now. The amount of compassion and empathy nurses, doctors, pharmacists, and other healthcare providers have really given to patients and families, thousands of them throughout this pandemic. It's just been overwhelming. You talked about some of the things that we've done at UMass in regards to the COVID pandemic. And one of the things that I think is a perfect example of what I just highlighted is that at UMass Memorial Health in the spring of 2020, really in the first wave of the pandemic, we stood up a 220-bed field hospital. And what I would say is the relentless part and heroic part is that we were activated and asked to do this within 8 days. And so we built a 220-bed field hospital in 8 days in a 50,000 open square foot convention hall. And this field hospital really served as a regional and state resource, both in the first wave, we serviced COVID positive patients there, decommissioned it a few months later, and then rebuilt it and opened it in the fall of 2020. It ended up being one of the most used field hospitals in the country. We treated well over 800 COVID positive patients there. And I think that's just a perfect example of what we can do when we collaborate and align our goals and mission of what we need to accomplish.
Thank you very, very much. Neil, what are you most excited about this year? When you look at this year, what are you most excited about?
So I described the hospital at home service. I think that's just one example of lessons that we've learned or new and innovative ways that we've been able to provide care for patients. And you start to see some of the relaxation of regulations that have been longstanding that are allowing us to move forward with some of these innovative and creative care models. I think that's going to be the most exciting over the next 12 to 24 months is to see what our organization, as well as other organizations across the country, are going to be able to do to really evolve the healthcare model care for patients in areas that they want to be cared for, such as in the home or alternate sites, and then really preserve those acute care beds in the hospital for higher level of care. So I think that's going to be really exciting to watch how that evolves over the next 1 to 2 years.
Fantastic. Neil, I want to thank you for joining us today on the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. It's amazing the work that UMass Memorial has done through the pandemic, and continued good luck and work by you and your team. The pharmacy side has become such an integral part of everything. We appreciate all your work and appreciate you very much joining us today on the Becker's Healthcare Podcast.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Scott.